So I was just working on some Keith and the Girl TV stuff. I've been watching through footage of Bruno, Dance Monkey Dance, the pre-show they've been doing lately. You know, in the future, when people listen back to these, that's not going to make any sense. This is a fucking moment in time for Keith and the Girl. But since I'm sure most of my listeners are Keith and the Girl fans, you know what I'm talking about. I've been sifting through piles and piles of Bruno. It's only been like a week. I can't believe there's this much footage of Bruno already, but we're going to put it together as a Keith and the Girl TV. It's a real pain in the ass. It's this flash video shit. It's very hard to convert properly. The sound gets all messed up and various problems. Anyway, I've been doing that all day. I kind of thought I was losing my zeal for being a video editor, but after we came back from the Derby in Jersey, I must have sat there for like 10 hours straight, just going through. We had like 2.5 hours of footage from Jersey. And, I mean, it's not like it was a fucking roller coaster ride the whole time, but it's fairly shocking to me that I could do that. I could sit there for 10 fucking hours, give or take, and actually work on something. That's crazy. Like, I do not have a good work ethic. If I could write like that, Jesus Christ, I'd have a book done by now. So, that's a good sign. That I don't know if video editing will be like my career for life, but I got a way bigger tolerance for it than I do most stuff. So that's not a bad thing to know, because I was afraid I was losing it a little. Because this Keith and the Girl documentary is getting very nebulous and hard to visualize, and the whole thing's been kind of weird from the start. I still don't know how that's going to go in general. It's a fucking big project. But the little ones, the little Keith and the Girl TVs, that's still going all right. And I'm working on Keith's DVD this year. Oh, I gotta get started on that. Anyway, I've been sifting through Bruno stuff all day. Time to take a break. So I realized, holy shit, it's nighttime. What better time to walk around and talk to myself? So Ham Radio's taken a little shot in the arm lately. It's gotten a little more recognition through, what episode number was that? Anyway, a couple episodes ago, I can't even remember what I'm up to now, but my walking around Queens fucking lamenting my life and such and such. And I don't know that I'm feeling especially deep today, but who knows, maybe I am. We'll see where things go, right? But my plan today, I've been meaning to do this for ages, because I still think of this as a music show more than anything, is today's Canada time. I had this big slush folder where I just grabbed like every fucking Canadian song that happened to be kicking around my computer. And I've been sifting through them, and this is not my definitive list, but I got a bunch of stuff picked out. So I'm going to play a Canadian song. So if you're Canadian, some of this might be a nice walk down memory lane. If you're not Canadian, you've probably never heard of most of this shit, because we do have a whole subculture, musical subculture, that you guys in America don't have. I've talked about this before, but it's kind of nice in a way, because we know all the American shit, but we also have this, like, extra layer, even though a lot of it was artificially forced upon us by the weird socialism of Canada and the fact that radio stations have to play a certain percentage of Canadian music. So yeah, I'm just going to walk around for a while and play some music and let my brain unravel a little. So first, this is actually a new one to me. I didn't know this song until I started going through stuff. We got this this band in Canada. It was called I Mother Earth. They were huge for a little while. And then they split. The singer went solo. They got a new singer. And both kind of tumbled from there eventually. But especially I Mother Earth, their third album after Edwin, their singer, left, didn't do so great. And then the fourth one didn't even make a blip. Which is weird, because like the first one was a very solid seller, and the second one was massive, man. It was huge. It was good, too. So anyway, they got this fourth album called Quicksilver Meat Dream that I never really heard. And I still really haven't, because this is the very first song on the album I'm going to play. That's about as far as I've gotten into it. But I like this one. It's a little bit of a slow build, but once it gets rolling, it's kind of cool. I don't even know what it's called. So here's an I Mother Earth song. Once that mind's held on, let the poem hum. I was going to kind of pick and choose a bit with these songs that I got since it's just a big slush, but fuck it, maybe I'll just play what I got in whatever order they hit. This is SNFU. I've talked with them a bit before on my old episode about Vancouver. And I met Chai Pig briefly. He's the guy, singer for SNFU. This band's been around for fucking ever, and he's really the only dude, you know, still original. I think right now their bass player is their same bass player from like 1991. I don't know, anyway. He used to come into the coffee shop I worked at, and he'd trade me drawings and stuff for free shit. Right now, I think he works at the Cobalt, if I'm right. He does the Hot Rods karaoke, and once in a while, SNFU pulls themselves together, puts on a show. Fucking cool band. Anyway, this song is from... shit, what the fuck is that album called? Eh, it doesn't matter. It's you know, all their album titles have like seven words. And this one's just seven letters, but it's like an acronym. It stands for something. I can't even remember what. Anyway, it's called Step Stranger. And he told me when I was just sitting around blabbing with him that this song, it came from some Keanu Reeves movie, but I don't even know which movie. But the line is that Keanu Reeves says to his stepdad is like, you know, you're not my dad type of shit. All you do is fucking... all you do is fuck my mom and eat our food. So he stole it and put it in this song. It's a good fucking song. Here it is, Step Stranger, SNFU. Logy today. I don't know. My brain's not all with me. I'm starting to think, I don't know, like, I would not be surprised if I do have, like, some kind of, like, chemical imbalance. I don't know. It just seems like my fucking happy-sad goes up and down way too often and way too fast. It just doesn't seem natural. And I can't really see going through all the steps to, I mean, I still haven't even gone to a sleep specialist, and that's, like, a serious problem for me. So it might take me a while to actually get to the point of seeing a therapist or whoever, a psychologist, to the point of, like, medicating myself. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there is something, I don't know. Like, this one thing, Hemda says she doesn't like taking pills. You know, she doesn't even like aspirin and stuff. And while I do think that, generally speaking, you know, the human body can regulate itself, you know, it has an amazing capacity to heal. Sometimes it just doesn't fucking work right, you know? Sometimes the levels are just not where they're supposed to be. And I mean, if your body's getting flooded with fucking chemicals and shit, or whatever, hormones that aren't necessarily helpful, I don't know, there's no need to just fucking put up with that for your whole life. But I don't know. Let's just, I think I'm gonna go a little heavy on the music today. I don't even know why I bother trying to plan what the shows are gonna be like. Sometimes I play lots of music, sometimes I talk and talk and talk. This is a band called Eric's Trip. I think they're even from Moncton. I don't know, they're definitely East Coast, way East Coast, very local. And, they're not around anymore. The chick of the band, Julie Dwaron, she's still around, she does stuff. I was never enormous into this band. They would mostly do, like, these loud kind of rock songs that were just, like, really lo-fi. Hard to get into. Although I'd be interested to get some old Eric's Trip albums again and give them another try. See how it goes. See how they, see how my memories of them hold up. But whenever they did quiet songs, man, their quiet songs are always good. This one is called Behind the Garage. And my cousin claimed to know the guy from Eric's trip, or a guy who was friends with the guy from Eric's trip, and said that he smoked weed behind this very garage that they're referencing in the song. And I believe him, because the fucking Canadian East Coast is very fucking small. Canada in general has got a tiny population, and the East Coast especially. Nobody's there. I mean, these guys really were from very near us. I mean, this is very fucking possible. And he lived all over the place. He lived in St. Andrews. He lived all over. So, like, I don't know. I was never, like, a real sociable person, especially when I was younger. And it used to amaze me when we'd be walking around my hometown, Fredericton, New Brunswick, and every time I went out with my cousin, we ran into at least one person that he knew. And I thought he was like the fucking Joe Cool Cat, the coolest guy in the world. And then I realized that it's just a really small fucking town, man. Of course that would happen. If I had made even a little bit of an effort, like had a little more of an aptitude for that kind of thing, I would have been right there with him. Or very nearly. Even like places like Vancouver. It's got such a centralized transit system. Like, the SkyTrain's only got, like, 30 stops or something. I think if you were just, went to fucking Burrard Station and sat on the steps, you know, or just, you'd meet someone you knew within 20 minutes, probably, 40 minutes at most. And that's not a small city, so my hometown, of course. So anyway, here's Behind the Garage, Eric's trip, where, I know a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who was behind this very garage. Now this is super fucking hometown. This is Dionysus. I used to go to school, I went to French school, and it was the same class for like 6 years in a row, all the same kids. And I went to school with a kid named Guy, and his older brother, Richard, was roommates with my same cousin who knew the Behind the Garage guy. And their younger brother, Pierre, might have gone to school with my brother. I'm not sure if they're the exact same age. But he's the singer for this band, Dionysus. And they're not around now either. But it was a good time. I still to this day have a Dionysus shirt that I wear all the time. It's fashioned after participaction, which every Canadian knows. It's a nice thing to have, like just out and about in the world and hear them in New York and shit. No, I don't think anybody recognized it until April 15th. But because, you know, people were coming in from all around. But that's like the Canadian secret code. Participation, man. They know what that means. So these guys had a first album that they kind of disowned and then sort of pretended they didn't make, although it had some alright stuff on it. This is from their second and like their real album, basically. And then they put out an EP and that was it for them. But they had some really good stuff. This one was getting played on our local rock station and stuff. It's called Oh Yeah. Fuck, man, the battery died on my camera when I was in the middle of talking. I hate it when that happens. It's not like I said anything so fucking deep, but it's just weird. Like, whatever I said, I lost. And I gotta say it again. It's awkward and strange. But what I was saying is, man, I gotta get the... What am I doing? I'm walking by the fucking highway. It's gonna be the worst sounding show in the history of this terrible sounding show. And again, because you can never go in parks at night. The whole park I'm walking right next to a nice quiet park. But it's all fenced off, and I ain't supposed to be in there. Okay, wait. There's a turn here. I think maybe I can get back to civilization. Or I'm just going to end up walking all the way to fucking Shea Stadium. Yeah. The one story I do have about that band, I think my brother maybe did go to school at the same time as Pierre. Because back when my brother was in high school, before he became the horrible fucking junkie that he is now, I mean, he's done for. He is unreachable. He is just a lunatic. He is the, like, most hateable person I've ever met. But before he degenerated to that point, he was just a fun drug-taking guy. So I hear. I mean, I was in my own little world for a while there. I really wasn't paying attention to what was going on with him. Sadly, I'm sad to say. And, he used to open these guys' shows. You know, he'd kind of be like their weird MC. He'd just go up on stage and, you know, just do goofy, dopey shit. And that's weird to think of because I think of me and him as being so different, just fucking night and day. I'm the good son, he's the bad son. But I get into that shit too. I love it. Just dopey shit, like on April 15th for Keith's show, I did a raffle giveaway. You know, hey, I'm on stage, I'm talking, I'm making jokes. Pay attention to me. We definitely had that in common, except he had to get bombed out of his head first, and it all went bad places. Not really sure what the point of that story is, but I don't know. Maybe someday I'll do a podcast about my brother. Make a meaningful playlist. But I don't know. I can't even talk to the guy. It's brutal. Don't know what to do about him. So, hey, that's fun. Fun time talking. All right. Junkie Brothers, hometown fucking bands, Dionysus.
Yeah.
Here's a band I've played before. They're called The Hardship Post. If I remember right, they were from Newfoundland, and they moved to Halifax, part of this sort of Sloan explosion. We're on Sub Pop for a while, also long gone now. This is a song they got called Under the Influence of the Meat Puppets 2, which they clearly were. It's a good name for the song. Because I remember after Nirvana Unplugged came out, I mean, that's when everybody heard of the Meat Puppets. I mean, I guess people heard of them. They were around. But I never fucking heard of them. And honestly, I didn't like that Meat Puppets album all that much. Especially back then, in those days. As in, like, ninth grade. I didn't have a lot of tolerance for, you know, jangly, sort of more loose music. I really liked how, with those Meat Puppet songs especially, I really thought Kurt Cobain fucking fixed them up well. You know, like, Courtney Love said this in an interview once. She was like, man, he played me this Meat Puppets album. I was like, what are you talking about? That is shit. So he sat down and basically played her the entire album in his own cadence. And she's like, holy shit, that fucking is a good album. Like, amazing. And there's, like, some songs on there, like Oh Me and stuff. They're just so good. But they would have gone right past me if I didn't hear the Kurt Cobain versions. So this band, Hardship Post, this, I think, was from, like, a little... I think it was just a single, or like a... what do you call that? I guess it's a single. Yeah, a split something, I don't know. I think it only had two songs. And it was called We Should Smooth Things Over, Let's Smooth Things Over, something like that. And the jacket was made out of sandpaper. Kind of clever. But I always liked the name of this band, The Hardship Post, because that's what every fucking newspaper in the world should be named. Because it's not like a deep fucking thing that I noticed, but especially in Vancouver, bad news every day. Every day, bad news on the front. If nothing bad happened in Vancouver, then something bad happened in Burnaby. If nothing bad happened in Burnaby, something bad happened in Surrey. If nothing bad happened in Surrey, something bad happened in Calgary. Etc., etc. You go all the way to fucking China if you have to. Something fucking bad happened, and it's going to be on the front page of the Hardship Post. So that's a cool name for a band. So here's the Hardship Post with Under the Influence of the Meat Puppets 2. We'll be right back. right. I found a hole in the fence, so fuck it. I don't care if I'm not supposed to be in this park at night. I'm still just barely in the park, but at least I'm a little ways away from the highway. Be a little quieter. All right, this next song, this one is a Canadian one-hit wonder. I don't know what's, I don't know, sort of lamer than that, I guess. I mean, people have a lot of love for one-hit wonders, but regional one-hit wonders, that's something different. Like, I understand, I'm sure it's like this if you're from wherever, Sweden, Norway, Japan, whatever, other weird, you know, Mexico, you know all these weird one-hit wonders and nobody else knew. But I still have a hard time getting it through my head that the U.S. and Canada are different. I guess it's solidified some since I moved here. There are more evident differences than there used to be. But how do they not know Kazzer? Kazzer, dudes! Pedal to the metal! I'm sure most Canadians don't fucking know this horseshit either, but... I don't know, this is a good example of, like, just trying to take the music snob inside me and just beat him to death. Because I love this song, man. This song is a really good song. It's got this little guitar bit in it that's just, like, so catchy. This catchy little hook that, during the verses, that just burrows in your head. I mean, it's a rap rock song, but again, there's nothing wrong with that either, you know? But I remember I almost didn't play this one. I was like, I shouldn't put Kazzer in my playlist with all my cool indie fucking cred. But fuck that, whatever. This was actually the first apartment I lived in. It was with my friend Matt and his brother Dave. And this song was playing a lot. We had like satellite digital cable, whatever the fuck you call it. Playboy Channel, all that shit. But they had like these just music stations. We used to love the Jazz Masters one. Not so much in our house. We'd go over to our fancy friend, the Harding's house. When they were gone, we'd be babysitting their dogs. Put on the Jazz Masters and just, like, stroll around the estate. Like, we were rich and we had a fancy house. But this one was getting a lot of play on the Rock Channel that year. And, I looked this guy up on Wikipedia. I guess he's working on another album, but, you know, this was it. He had this one little hit. It was like, it was in movies and shit. It did okay. I don't really have much to say about him. I never got his album. I don't know the rest of his shit. And I guess that's the fucking ultimate one-hit wonder. I'm not even inclined to. I don't even feel bad that I didn't try to like Kazzer more. He's got his one song. Here it is, Pedal to the Metal, fucking Kazzer. Like a 454 with the four on the floor. Dudes cool coming at you, avoiding the capture. Far from stock, I'm chopped and ready to rock. In the city of steel, I catch me cruising on the block.
Sun goes down.
This song is super good. This is this Canadian metal band called Kitty that's all girls, or it was all girls. I think now they've got like an unofficial member who's the guy. And they keep getting like more and more metal and more hardcore with every album. If they're even still, I think they're still putting out shit. And I don't know where this one's even from. I don't know if it was like from an import version of one of the albums or something. But I think this is the era of their first album. And this is not indicative of them at all. It's like a fucking hip-hop-y thing. I thought it was a cover, but I looked at it, it doesn't seem to be. It's just got all these weird fucking... In 94, I'll be the sure shot shit. Why would you mention 94? It wasn't 94. It wasn't even close. So I thought it was a cover of something else, but it's... I don't know. I'm fucking rambling. This is going to be the best show in the world. And it's called The Shit You Can't Fuck With by Kitty. I think it's just, man, walking next to this highway, all this noise. I'm like yelling. It's the yelling podcast. It's not really, it's not good for whatever my recent forays into smarty-pantsedness. Not recent, they've been popping up all the way through, but they don't fucking work in this environment. Also, these songs are just Canadian. That's the only reason I'm playing them. It's not a good reason to talk about anything cohesive. All right, here's a Kitty song. Enjoy this.
All cool, sitting on fat breath. Tat-tat-tat bitch, and it's life. Well, let me lift you to the sky. Just climb aboard the BRAT. Riding those with no love, I stay above like God. Quick to pull your trigger, quick to pull your card. And it don't stop, and it don't quit. In 94, I'll be the show shot. Shit, and in years to come, shit ain't gonna change. So deaf, you know the name of the game. And those that say they don't, bitch, please, cause we be known for making them G's. Then setting on slow, steady going good. Whatever we release, whatever we unfold. And now you know we're running for who's the shit. And who's got the shit, fucking it up. The dope of my shit and the bigger my come up. Now tell me, have you ever heard a female vocalist swift like this? The kick shit like this? I don't think so. I don't think you know no hoe that can flow like I flow in. Plus, if you like it rough and rugged, then you love it. Play it day to day to day. You never ever get enough of it. Ain't I ridiculous? It's a bad mama jammer like hammer. You can't touch this. Never fuck with my shit or my clip. Don't even trip, cause you're bound to get split. Bitch, ain't no thing for me to put a down to make you motherfucker.
This is a super cool band with the quintessentially Canadian name of Metric. I first heard of them when I was working at the porn store. Combat Baby was getting a lot of play. I'm going to play this song's called Grow Up and Blow Away, that I think is like one of their pre-first album songs. Then they eventually re-released it, changed it a little bit, but this is the original version. They're mostly the same, but I like this one a little better. It's just a smooth, good time song. But before I play that, I don't know, let's ramble a little bit. So the last thing I put up was just a mixtape, no talking at all, it was just songs. And I picked pretty carefully, and I even chopped up things, like I take out verses that didn't make sense and focus in on lyrics from the songs that fit my mindset. And it seems so nakedly revealing to me, like just... embarrassingly so. But I wonder if that's at all apparent to other people. Probably not so much. I don't know. It's basically just about this girl that I'm seeing and my general insecurities about her. I guess it's the kind of thing that might make for an interesting podcast ramble, but I just don't think I should. I don't know. I'm not ready for it yet. Who knows? Who knows how things are going to go? It does certainly help, though, just to get things off your chest and out in the open. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know. I do feel like I'm, like, emotionally stunted as far as my relationship with girls go. To a degree. But, I don't know, it's like, in a lot of ways I can't find fault exactly. See, this is like the thing, it's like I can find a lot of ways to justify my behavior. And, you know, at the same time, like, I keep trying to think of the fancy word. I gotta stop doing that. Who fucking cares how many syllables are in a word? Just fucking... Anyway, I find ways to believe that I'm right and everyone in the world is wrong. And I think, generally speaking, that's probably trouble. But I don't know. See, it's like, to me, maybe I'm just not, like, confident enough. But it seems like the world is full of sex maniacs to me. And I mean, I'm fucking... I certainly wouldn't call myself not a sex maniac. I'm a masturbation maniac, no question about that. But as far as relationships go, I don't know, I just get like this cartoonish advice from people. And it always seems to boil down to like seal that deal, nail that chick, from guys and girls. And I don't know, to me, I mean, I'm still in like a fucking, I'm in a seventh grade mindset. To me, it's like, that should come later, you know? It should be, let's just hang out, let's talk on the phone, let's go to fucking movies, let's do all that stuff. And that will eventually progress, or not. But I don't know, that has to come first for me. I'm such a fucking girl, as far as my view of relationships goes. To the point where, like, I even think the girl... A lot of times is like, what's the matter with this guy? How come he's not making a move? How come he's not pushing for things? But I don't know. To me, it's that fucking chess game between two people's brains. That's the fucking... That's the whole thing, you know? That's what fucking works me up. That's what gets me excited. That's what just fucking hooks me in. And then... I don't know. Let's play some Metric. Maybe this nice soothing song will help smooth out my brain. I'll come up with some better ways to explain what I'm trying to say.
There's no way out. The only way out is to give in. When there's no way out, the only way out is to give in.
So it turns out I did walk all the way to Shea Stadium. Again, not the first time I made this walk. And I don't know, I think I might actually jump on the train. It's only like literally two stops. But I hate the walk from past Shea Stadium to Main Street. It's just very fucking creepy. Last time I did it, I just couldn't shake the idea that somebody was going to jump out and stab my face. That was the second Metric song, by the way. We heard Empty by Metric. Also a very good song from their second album. Live It Out. So since obviously I can't talk to myself while I'm on the subway, I'm just sitting by a tree. Do some talking. Yeah, that second Metric song was to give myself a little more mental unraveling time. Some decompression. Let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you some more thoughts I have about relationships with girls. Probably the best advice that I've gotten so far. I've gotten a lot of some pep talks from Devin, beer chick from Atlanta. I mentioned her last show. But I think my favorite advice has actually been from Allison from Halifax, who opened the stand-up show this year. Took my spot. One of the things she was telling me is, you know, it's don't put too much pressure on a relationship right away. Because, I don't know, like girls will be, girls don't want to be worried that they're going to hurt you, you know? We live in the fucking time of the ladyboy, and I'm right there with you. And my friend Mark is so into emo bands, and I really don't dig that shit, but I wonder. I don't know. I don't think I would have fallen into that if I was, he's younger, quite a bit younger than me. But who knows, man? I mean, I got the mindset for it, no question there. Just musically, ouch. Anyway, yeah, she was saying, you know, it's not good to put too much pressure on the situation or try to make it into more than it is right away because largely, like, you don't need, a girl doesn't need to feel, like, the pressure that if she doesn't like you and if it's not sparking that you're going to be all hurt and mopey and emo about it, which is very good advice. Too late, though. Too late. Too late for that. See, because my whole method, I just like to lay things out. I just like to tell people where I'm at, what I'm thinking. Anytime I'm mildly confused by a situation, that's how I get my bearings. I lay all my cards on the table. That's just the way I like to be. I like to be open. I like to just let things flow through me, you know? It's too fucking much of my life I spent bottling things up. I don't like it anymore. So, for instance, with this girl, I wasn't shy at all about the fact that I liked her. Actually, Spooky kind of, the way this girl described it, she was talking to Spooky, and it was when I had my phone, but my first phone where the text messages weren't getting through to me. So, her and her friend that were, the friend, you know, was a Keith and the Girl fan. So he texted Spooky and was like, hey man, you know, we can't get a hold of McNally. Why don't you want to come hang out with us? And Spooky was busy. But he's like, you know, I am busy. And also, you know, I think McNally's into this girl. You know, I don't want to fucking, you know, get in his way. And they're like, yeah, you know, we tried. We tried to text McNally. He didn't text back. And that's how I learned that my phone wasn't working. Which is one thing I love about Spooky. I love that he just tells me, here's what I said to so-and-so, you know, just in case you're curious. Like, he's so, I love how he's just open about stuff, because that's how, because I was really starting to wonder what was going on. Like, how come none of my texts were being answered? And that's how I found out. Because, you know, Spooky told me, well, hey, they said they sent you a text, you know? Like, he's an open book. I like it a lot. I really like that guy. But then I was talking to this girl, and she's like, wow, you know, Spooky kind of blew up your spot, you know? Fucking said flat out that, you know, you liked me. But really, he didn't. Because I said that, too. Almost immediately. It just... And I think maybe it's, like, interpreted wrong. Because what I mean is that I'm having a really good time with things so far, you know? Again, like I said before, I'm not any kind of a... You know, fucking one-night stand or let's sleep on together on the first, second date guy. Everything is a gradual... This is slow. I'm slow. There's no better way to put it. So what I mean when I'm like, wow, I really like you, girly, is I really like how we've been hanging out and getting along so well, you know? I like where things are now in the natural progression in my head. So I guess, like, what I mean by saying that I really like somebody is probably not the same as what they would mean if they said it at the same point, you know? I don't know. How am I... And then I really feel like I'm not explaining this well, because at the same time... I don't know. I'm just a fucking... The fucking stereotypical fool for love, man. Like, I don't know. I'm in this weird situation with this girl because... She has a fucking job, like a 9-to-5. She has a lot of responsibilities. She's busy a lot. She's always, and her basic routine is like after work, then go to the gym. And it's like there's only literally like not a lot of free time in a day. And I remember what that was like. I've had jobs like that, you know, and it's just like, where does your life go? It's just fucking crazy that anyone, I mean, you just adapt. It's been so long since I've been in that situation. It's, I got to put myself back there, but. But I've been there, and it was ridiculous. Like, that's not... I don't know how people live their lives that way, but people do, and this girl does. And, you know, I can't monopolize all of her time. But I want to. Oh, Christ, do I want to. You know, I'd hang out with her every fucking second day if I could. And it's like, I think it's that much harder for me not to come off overbearing because I've got so much free time. Like, if I don't hear from her in like a couple of days, big fucking deal. It's a couple of days, right? That's a blip on the radar for people. That's a goddamn, that's forever for me, you know? It's like 4 days, holy, forget about it. Like, what the fuck, you know? So, you know, it's just like I'll send her like little text messages and shit, but it really is like kind of continuous, and it's hard for me to realize that I'm doing that. Because to me, it's like there's hours and hours and hours of time between communications, but that's like not how it is on the other side. That's not how it is for her at all. She's busy, she's working. She just gets a big fucking glut of shit at the end of the day. Like, what the fuck is this? I don't know, like today, for instance, I didn't send her any texts at all, and I almost did, you know? I'm like, okay, let's just relax today. Got stuff to do. Let's work on Keith and the Girl TV. It was very hard for me to do. That's ridiculous. I don't know. I just wish... But on the other hand, I'm like such a ridiculous romance junkie. I was telling this to Relic the other day. We were coming home from the subway. That the junkie analogy fucking works so well, because I just go through, like, withdrawal, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm just like, it's been so long, and then I'll get, like, a fucking, you know, a call from her, and it's like, I'm fucking on cloud goddamn nine. It's really almost embarrassing. I'm 28 years old, you know, I should be past this, but I'm not, I don't think I'm ever gonna be. It's like, holy. And I don't want to, like, just be past it, but I would like it to be a little more manageable. I should not be so fucking, I shouldn't be so manipulated. And then it's like, it always leads to bad things too if a relationship goes sour, because then you're blaming the other person for things that aren't their fucking fault, you know? Like, this is on me. This is my own interpretation of events. This is my own reaction to things. If she's busy and she doesn't fucking send me a text message, that's my problem that I'm, you know, fucking so mopey about it. So, I don't know. I'm hoping that just getting all this off my chest will help sort things out, because that is one of the massive healing powers of the fucking human psyche is, you know, your subconscious can really work out a lot of shit for you as long as it's identified and as long as you are aware that, you know, it's something that needs to be worked on. Let's play another song. I totally feel like I've coiled my head up again and I sort of need to think some more. Tell you what, I'll play some fucking Canadian shit that you've heard of and yet not heard. Let's play some Nickelback. Now, Nickelback's second album was the one with This Is How You Remind Me. Unexpectedly massive hit in the U.S., and pretty much Nickelback's been rolling ever since. I mean, they've done all right for themselves. However, being from Canada, I can fucking pull the... even with Nickelback, I can pull the musical elitism card on you fuckers. Because I heard of Nickelback with their first album, which was, brace yourself, a fucking good album. It really was. I had nothing against this album. It had all kinds of good songs, man. And the first song I ever heard was Old Enough. I don't think it was their first single. I think that was Leader of Men. But yeah, man, I swear, that first Nickelback album, it was like, it was Nickelback. You know, don't get me wrong, but... there's nothing wrong with it, man. It was fucking solid. And, I don't know. I don't know that this one ever really hit at all, even though Nickelback became such a phenomenon. I would doubt that most Americans went back and dug up their first album. So this is Old Enough by Nickelback, a song that, when it first came out, I really liked. And years later, I still really like. And I'll treat her like she was mine. I might. You got your way and I get mine. And I can't eat, I can't sleep. Oh, but thank you for coming. And why do we always laugh while we're in this discussion? Should I? on the subway. Up on the subway platform. This whole area is so kind of weird and creepy to me. As you pass Shea Stadium for the next quite a few stops, it's like a Mexican neighborhood. Any stop, get off, you'll find, you know, a Mexican bar, Mexican restaurant. But the train goes right over the street. And it's really weird. It's like you're indoors, but you're outdoors. I don't know. It just reminds me of William Gibson book, like the Bridge Trilogy shit. It's kind of cool, though. Even just now that I, you know, just... This is a good way to, I don't know, start to like a city. Like, I can talk about Vancouver all day. This happens here, this is there, blah, blah, blah. I'm starting to get there a little bit with New York, you know? Can talk about 111th Street stop on the 7 train and fucking know what I'm talking about. It's kind of cool. So I kind of feel like all that girl talk is sort of what I was trying to get off my chest. Was what I was trying to fucking dredge loose from this podcast, you know? Just needed to fucking play some songs and yammer a little bit. I remember I talked to Hemda about this when I first moved here a little bit. She has a very direct method a lot of times with people. Just like, let's talk about something deep right now. Biggity bam. And I gotta ease into these things sometimes. That's why I like, pop culture is my favorite fucking method. Let's just talk about some shit that doesn't seem important. And then the shit that is important will eventually kind of, you know, come of it once we're comfortable. I think this show has been a good example of that. So, we'll see once I get back into my neighborhood. I still got a bit of a walk home. We'll see what else I got on my fucking MP3 player. Maybe I'll just go back to playing music and talking about that. But right now, let's play some Rusty. This is a... I don't even know if I'd call them a mid-level Canadian band. Lower mid-level. But they had enough songs that were well-known. Misogyny and Groovy Dead, Wake Me. But I never heard this song until I was going through my Canadian directory. I guess it's called California, because my little thing is saying Rusty, California. But maybe that's an album name, I don't know. Anyway, it's a really good song. I like this one a lot. So here's a song by Rusty.
Louder.
Alright, now that I'm back in my neck of the woods, I'm gonna find some fucking side streets to walk down. Because it is still fucking hopping. In the Asian neighborhoods, there's no such thing as late at night. The porn store I worked at, one reason it went down, I think, is it was in a fairly Asian neighborhood in Vancouver. And just too nice of a neighborhood in general. But in our same little block of stores, there were like two different bubble tea places competing. And man, like 3 a.m, this place would be packed. Full of people. All the time too with Asian restaurants, you'll see that. Really late at night. Which I think is great. Fuck going to bed early, fuck getting up early. But I don't know, like, what jobs do these people have? You know, you see, like, families and businessmen and stuff. Maybe they're on fucking Tokyo time, I don't know. Also at that, the porn store I worked at, this is an example of a difference, I think, between Vancouver and New York, is both cities are very ethnically diverse. New York more so, of course. It's much bigger. But it's pockets around here. Right now I'm in the Asian pocket. Earlier I was in the Mexican pocket. I don't know, there's a Jew pocket not too far from here, and it's like night and day. You're just in the new zone. And it wasn't that way in Vancouver. Like, part of this, I think, is just to keep the guy's business afloat, but there was a restaurant, like an East Indian restaurant near the porn store. And he would, like, stop in and drop us off little coupons and stuff. And that's the first time I ever had butter chicken. It was just because the guy kind of introduced himself to everybody in the neighborhood, even the weird porn store clerks. So I went over, and I love butter chicken now. I love it. It's fucking delicious. It's so good. I don't know that they even call it butter chicken around here. Maybe it's like chicken masala? Tikka? I don't know. One of those things. Yeah, so what I wanted to say is I found out some good news about my stay in the U.S. I've got a 6-month visa, and I applied for another 6 months at about the 3-month mark. And now I'm starting to get worried, because there's only a month and a half to go, and who knows how long the bureaucracy of this is going to take. And their website is very unclear about how long it takes to process these things. They keep directing me to this thing, this show average times, and it makes no fucking sense to me. I just don't know what they even mean. So I was getting worried, because, like, what happens? Do I have to go back to Canada and then come back into the States? Which, I mean, and now that I know better, is quite silly. I mean, what if you're from fucking Rwanda? You can't do that. But it turns out, while I'm in processing, I can stay up to 240 days, which works out to like 8 months. And my visa extension is only for 6 months anyway. So if I had realized that at the time, I had to go through a bunch of fine print to finally deduce this. I think I would have waited even longer. I wouldn't have fucking even submitted my application for like another couple of weeks. Because this is as good as a yes. It's better almost, because once I hear back, could go either way, yes or no. I mean, it's like everyone is like, of course it'll be yes. What conceivable reason could they have for saying no? I mean, the thing, they read it on Keith and the Girl once. The form is insane. It's Rambo shit. It's like, have you ever brought weapons or drugs into the country? Have you ever repressed someone's religion? Have you ever murdered a man? Have you ever fucking brought chemical weapons into the U.S.? Totally ridiculous. So I'm sure it'll be fine, but I was worried, and now I'm less worried. Now I don't even want to hear back. They can take all the fucking time they want. I am good. While I'm in processing, I am untouchable. As long as I don't fucking get arrested or something, obviously. Because they're having this cruise for Keith and the Girl. Keith and him to set up. Like a carnival cruise. But there's a lot of Keith and the Girl people that are going to be on it. And they're going to bring me along to like film stuff and make a DVD. Which I thought was very, very nice of them. I bet they probably wish I was going anyway, you know? Like, hey, McNally, you going on the cruise? Maybe you can film while you're there. But since I didn't want to go on the cruise, they're like, okay, we'll pay for you to go on the cruise. And I really don't want to have to go back to Canada before then, because what happens if, you know, I go back, then it's cruise time, It's only going to be for like 4 or 5 days, but technically my 6 months of the year I'm allowed to be in this U.S. would be up. And who knows, maybe you get a nice customs guy, find you a loophole, and I mean, I've got return tickets, it would be like, I could prove I wasn't gonna, yeah, I wasn't fucking them around, but it would just be so much nicer not to have to worry about that. So I'm hoping, at the very least, if I don't get my visa extension, I hope they just fucking don't get around to it until August. That'd be so great. That's not inconceivable. And then after the cruise is done, whatever, then if I have to go home early, I still would rather not, but I just don't want to fuck over Keith and Hemda. Not only would they lose whatever amount of their deposit, maybe a lot, I don't know, planes and all that stuff, but then I wouldn't be there to film shit either. Lose, lose. So that was stressing me out a little bit, and I feel much better about it now. So that's cool. Alright, let's play another song. This is the Tragically Hip. These guys are so huge in Canada. Just like, they're like our fucking, they're like the Beatles to us. You know, it's like everybody knows the Hip. Everyone, I've never seen them live, somehow. It's just one of those fundamental lack of fucking bonding between me and my dad. Like, he's seen them. I haven't. Why the fuck not? Why didn't we go together? He just never thought I had to offer, type of thing. Never taught me how to shave, never taught me how to drive, you know. We just kind of passed each other like ships in the night. Not a bad dad by any stretch, very nice guy, good fella. Always looked after me, but not as loving as one might hope. If I have a kid, I hope it doesn't quite go that way. He tries though, I don't know. Obviously I get social awkwardness from him in a lot of ways. He's very, you know, I don't know. See, I guess he is definitely sort of an insulated, is not quite the word I'm looking for, but introverted maybe. But he, like, has poker tournaments at his place, and he goes out to the bar all the time. He's got friends. It's totally normal. I guess it's just something with the kids. But it's such a vague complaint, I don't know. Because I can't complain. He was not a bad dad in any way. Just, you know, I don't know. I need attention, and lots of it. I really do. So it's more my problem, maybe. Maybe I'll get into that a bit more, too. Right now, though, I remember this is from... what the fuck was this? This album was called Phantom Power. Poets was the first single. Not a bad song. Didn't mind that at all. Something's On was the second single. I really liked that song. And it sort of bombed. It didn't do so good as a single. Then they put out this song, Bob Cajun. And I remember I totally disliked this song at first. I was like, that's the single? What? And then it was doing pretty well. I was like, what? But it slowly did start to grow on me as the years go by. It's a really laid-back, kind of country-ish sort of thing. And when it really, really solidified on me was... April, from, she's born in Newfoundland, but she lives in Toronto now. She came down to visit us. Her and Relic are, you know, good friends. And me and her hit it off really well. Partially just because she's Canadian, also East Coast, and like, just, and just because she's just great. She's just a really cool person. I just fell right into a groove with her, like, right away. It was so easy, and just... nice to have her around. And it's the first time I've ever met a Canadian outside of Canada. I've gotten a nice dose of patriotism being out here. Fundamentally, I don't believe in that shit. I don't care about countries. But, you know, you just can't help your culture, where you come from. What you feel like is you. And I mean, I did have some down-in-the-dumps times when I first got out here. And it really helped having her around. I gotta send her a letter. I haven't talked to her since last time she was here. Anyway, she brought the Trailer Park Boys movie. I love the fucking Trailer Park Boys, as do all good people. And at the end of the movie, it's like, what I like about the Trailer Park Boys, what I like about a lot of pop culture stuff, it's that sense of family. Usually it's like Joss Whedon stuff, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, a lot of that, even Angel later on. It's a vibe of a family, of not the family you were born into so much, but the family you choose and that you build for yourself is a huge theme in that guy's work. And Trailer Park Boys it's like a double whammy, because it's the family you choose and the family you have. More, it really is more the family you have. It's the family you grew up with. It's like they all knew each other as kids. This is where they live. And it's like a ridiculous show. It's a comedy, you know? But it's got these nice moments that really do resonate with me. I remember there's a part where, season 3, I'm thinking, Ricky was sleeping in his car because he got kicked out of the house. And he's watching Little Miss Hobo and just singing along, you know? Maybe tomorrow I'll finally settle down. And it's just like a nice little moment. Anyway, the end of the Trailer Park Boys movie, it really ends nice, you know? Like, everything is going well for everybody. It could have capped off the series, theoretically, you know, if they hadn't gotten renewed for TV. And they play this song, Bob Cajun, by the Tragically Hip. And being out in New York and away from everybody and having this Canadian connection through April and then watching that movie and hearing the song, it just, man, it hit me really hard. It's just a fucking beautiful moment of just watching the credits of that movie and listening to this song. So this is Bob Cajun by the Tragically Hip.
I left your house this morning about a quarter after 9. Could have been the Willie Nelson, could have been. Left your house this morning, was a little after 9. It was in Bob Cajun. I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star at a time. This morning, and as I'm pulling down the blind, yeah, the sky was dull and hypothetical and falling one cloud at a time. That night in Toronto, where the checkerboard floors, riding on horseback and keeping order is scarred.
this is kind of weird. Usually when I listen back to these shows, like, one of the cool things about them, I'm interested to listen back to this one, is to see what my girl rants were about earlier. Because, you know, it's all kind of stream of consciousness, so it'll be interesting to see if what came out of my mouth is more clear or less clear than I expected it to be. I can't really tell right now. But these things are like kind of postcards to myself. I always remember where I was in the world and who I was with and what I was thinking about and little things from listening to these shows. But the opposite is happening right now. Right now I'm walking down the same stretch I was walking down when I did two shows ago, my having a bad night show. This is right where I was at when I was playing Fiona Apple and Nick Cave. So now it's the real world is reminding me of the show. It's a little weird. I'm in a significantly better head right now, though. It's just nice doing these, though. It's like, I always just felt like, I mean, I'm basically talking to myself. But I have gotten significantly more feedback about this show lately, because I got some Keith and the Girl plugs and got played at the end of one of the episodes. And that's nice, because I have more of a vibe that I'm not just talking to myself, you know? I mean, I've had listeners all along, God bless y'all, but it's like freakishly consistent. Like, not many. I'd say I have like, I'd say 200 people as my core audience, like, that, like, if you look at the numbers of my shows, it's like so the same, like within that range, so close. And God bless y'all. Thanks very much for listening. But I've been getting more direct feedback lately, and some more numbers. Not really a hell of a lot more. I guess more, though. Whatever. It's not like I'm really trying to push this thing or make it go somewhere. It's just for me. But for me and you, babe, whoever you are out there listening, it's all us. Yeah, anyway, it's, you know, it's like my confessional or whatever, my therapy. It's not as good as actually talking to somebody. You know, gotta do that once in a while. But once in a while, this is good too, because when you get right down to it, most people really do know the answer to their problems. They know what they should do next. They just need it to be brought out of them. They need a reason to say it out loud. Now, what was I going to say? I thought I had another thought about girls. And I'm not, I can feel the edges of it in my head. But we're going to have to listen to another song till one more time. Let me fucking smooth things out. I got a big glide of Tragically Hip here. Let's move on a little bit. All right, here's this band's called Thrush Hermit. And I had their first, I guess it's an album, maybe it's just an EP, Smart Bomb. I liked it a lot. I really didn't dig so much of their stuff later on and tried to get into it a bit. Sweet Home Records, their album. I don't know, I should try again sometime. I remember my friend Matt really didn't like this band. But that first EP I really did like. And Joel Plaskett, there was two main guys. One of them is still going, Joel Plaskett and the Joel Plaskett Emergency. If you're Canadian, you may know him. Anyway, from way back in Smart Bomb, had a nice album cover too. It was just like Defender, whatever that old game was, the old arcade console. Just a close-up on the Smart Bomb button. These guys, I guess, are most famous because one of their songs from Smart Bomb was on the Mallrats soundtrack. I don't know that Kevin Smith was responsible for picking it. I think it was more of a record company thing for that soundtrack. But I'm going to play that song because I liked it. And another song from Smart Bomb. Hated it, and what the fuck is this called? It's not French and Hail. I'll Dress Up, I think. Let's play both of those fucking songs. And maybe I'll stop in the middle with some more insightful commentary. If I can think of what I was gonna say. Here's some Thrush Hermit on Ham Radio with your host, Keith McNally. After midnight, Queens, New York. Oh yeah.
haven't heard from you lately. I don't take it lightly. Please try to keep in touch. I know that you're really busy. You're really just slightly too late, and it may be too much to ask. I'll ask you politely. I want a letter or a love song. You think it's fair to cut me off? Rightly so, and you're right, but you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. We're all dressed up in suits and ties. I look so.
I think I got enough of a handle on my brain to at least get myself to start rambling and see where it goes. But I was going to say, with girls, I've been in very few serious relationships because, I don't know, I guess I don't proceed unless I feel like things are going, can go somewhere. The idea of a casual relationship is not so big with me. It's like all in, which is kind of bad because that leads back to what I was talking about earlier about putting too much pressure on a situation, you know, instead of just having fun and letting it unravel on its own. But, like, I can just, I don't know, it's like some weird, I got some complexes or something. I really do, like, end up, like, idolizing, which is not bad to, like, idolize the girl that you're with, but because I really think, like, for a good relationship, you have to really be able to look up to each other. But I do think I do it a little too easily. I don't know, it's like, I think, I really feel like you get to, you know, like, 50% of a person right away. And then the other 50% is what takes forever to fucking crack. And when that first 50% is good, just that shock of recognition of, like, oh man, this is one of those people that I'm just fucking lucky I met. Man, I can hang so much on that. I can, like, but then it gets to the point of, like, overlooking things that are problems. You know, like this little mixtape I did before this show. None of those songs, like, were fucking random picks because I thought they were catchy. Well, they all are extremely fucking catchy. There's problems, there's issues already obvious. But I mean, I don't know what point I'm trying to make. So what if there's problems? That's no reason to stop. You know? You gotta fucking continue on. But I do put on the blinders a little bit, and then I get in this... Again, this is more... I know it's like... It's one of those things that's so easy to put on the other person when it's really my issue, but I just get... I guess I'm just saying the same thing again. It's the drug addict thing of... When I get approval from a person who has these admirable qualities that are so hard to find in life, and you find them in someone and they like you, man, it's just fucking ridiculous. It just fucking bowls me over. But too much, you know? Like, I'm just willing to just fucking let everything else... Everything else stops seeming important, you know? It's not... That's not healthy. That's not good. And I guess that's really all I gotta say. So, Subconscious of Keith McNally. This is out in the open now. You've said it. You've recorded it. You're gonna listen to it again later. You know about this stuff. Don't pretend you don't. Get those blinders off, motherfucker. Think this through. I wanna wake up tomorrow morning feeling intangibly more confident about things, even if... Because I really think that's how it goes, you know? I don't know. How often do you have a breakthrough, a fucking bell going off in your head, super moment? Not often. It's not a place, it's a process. As Larry Marder would say. And if anyone gets that nerd reference, holy fuck. Send me an email, but you won't, so don't worry. And I guess, guess that's all I gotta say. Let's play that other Thrush Hermit song and sign off for the night. Thanks for listening. Adios. Asking you for a favor. You won't want to do it, but you made me a promise. I'm holding you to it. Get too close, you'll see the tables are turned. I know you really hated it. Walking down the sidewalk, you better take cover. Don't step on a crack if you love your mother.